literally getting larger.
Well, American negotiators have worked out a new deal with the Panamanians about the canal.
Problem getting Jones to talk.
The Reverend Jim Jones, shown here in the dark glasses, and his People's Temple have issued statements that he's more than willing to answer charges made by former members, but he still refuses to talk with reporters by long-distance telephone. We learned a week ago that Jones talked by telephone to his congregation July 31st during Sunday services from his mission in Guyana. Action News the very next day asked his attorney, Charles Gary, to arrange a telephone news conference with Reverend Jones. During his call, Jones branded news reports about him in New West Magazine and on Channel 2 as lies that are aimed at obstructing groups who want to help poor working people. Both Channel 2 and New West Magazine would both like to tell his side of the story.
The problem has been there's been absolutely no response from the temple officials or from the Reverend Jones, as far as we can determine, other than to issue a statement. And we stand ready to. I would be more than willing to re-interview Jim Jones. I would actively want him. I would really like to. I'd like to ask him several questions.
Former members charged that Jones faked cancer cures, revelations, and other miracles in order to fill his own collection box at religious services. Jones remains in Guyana, South America, where he reportedly suffers from an ear infection that keeps him from flying home. He resigned his post as the chairman of the San Francisco Housing Authority Commission in a letter to the mayor last week, and he still says that the charges against him are phony.
It all comes down to this. The Reverend Jim Jones and his spokesperson here at the People's Temple say that all of the charges that have been leveled against him are false and malicious. We can't come to that conclusion until the Reverend Jones comes forward and faces the charges to give his side of the story. We know now that he is capable of reaching a telephone, and we know that he's capable of conducting a press conference. He has said that he is eager to tell his side of the story. Despite all of our attempts to accomplish that, he will not come forward, or at least come to a telephone, to do just that. We are still waiting. Jim Clancy, Channel 2 Action News, outside the People's Temple in San Francisco.
Church in San Francisco. The temple, as part of its activities, has an agricultural project in the wilds of Guyana, on the north coast of South America. Children of church members are among those in Latin America, and now some of the parents have left the temple, and they say they're having trouble having their children returned to them. Bill Schechner has more on that story for Eyewitness News.
These pictures of the South American project come from a People's Temple magazine. Reports differ about how many members are on the property and how many of those are children. Some say it may be near 100. The temple will not say. The project in Guyana lies in the heart of wild areas. Several thousand acres have been made available to the church, and of that, several hundred have been cleared. Some of the children there are legally in the care of foster parents, parents who were members of the church and who have now left, parents who want their foster children brought home. One of them is this man. He asked for anonymity because he fears for his child's return if his identity becomes known. We'll call him Al. Al was a member of People's Temple from 1974 through 1976. During that time, he was caring for a child who is now 14. Al thought the child would benefit by going to Guyana, and in 1975 agreed to send the child there. Meanwhile, he became the child's legal guardian. In 1976, Al left the church, and since then he has tried to get the child back, he says, to no avail.
You named the child?
Yes.
Were you satisfied that they understood what you were saying to them and what you wanted them to do?
Yes, I'm satisfied with that.
And what happened?
No response.
There was no comment on the case from either People's Temple or the church's attorney. There have also been reports from former temple members that as many as 200 may have recently departed for Guyana, which has fueled speculation that the temple may be in the process of cutting back operations in San Francisco. No comment on this either. The only response to all of it has been in the temple newspaper, which has said the recent stories are attempts by disgruntled former members to discredit the organization. Meanwhile, several of these former members have begun working with this man, private investigator Joseph Mazur, to find out where their children are and to sort out this complicated situation.
We've requested that the council for the temple assist us in getting these children back from Guyana.
Also looking into things, the district attorney's office. So far, says Chief Deputy Daniel Weinstein, there is no evidence of criminality.
When we investigated the complaint, we found in most instances that the child is lawfully in Guyana, and in some other instances where the custody is questionable, it's a matter for the civil courts.
Tonight, the investigations are continuing. Also continuing, the temple's policy of issuing only a blanket denial that the charges against it are groundless. In San Francisco, this is Bill Schechner, Channel 5 Eyewitness News.
The man in the middle is the Reverend Jim Jones. He's been in Guyana ever since the charges against the temple began, and so far he's had no comment. Lynn?
Tonight the Scarface fired an either or into a bizarre child stealer. Joe Mazur is a private investigator who's been looking into the People's Temple. How do you describe the Reverend Jim Jones?
Nancy, it's hard to describe exactly what he is, because we've had so many statements in the beginning of the good works he did, and then so many things came up which cast an awful shadow on what the temple really was inside.
Mm-hmm. We're going to look into the inside of the People's Temple in just a moment when we talk more with Joe Mazur and find out how he got involved with the People's Temple.
Turned lipstick.
How did you become involved in that in the first place, Joe?
Well, I was asked to become involved by several of the people who wanted to attempt to get their children back.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about children who are of age 18 and over. We're talking about babies 5, 6, 7, 8 years old who, because of the parent or guardian's involvement in the temple, were placed in the temple and subsequently sent to Guyana. Thereby, the parent left, became displeased with what was happening. They left, but they were unable to get their children out.
Mm-hmm. There seems to be a rather peculiar association between the temple and this form of guardianship. In other words, a lot of the people who are trying to get their children back are not actually the natural parents of the children. How does that happen?
Well, that's correct, Nancy. Most of the people that we've been dealing with have both guardianships and a quasi-guardianship where there's no legal documents whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
We have one parent who were the guardians of some 8 children, all put together by the temple. The temple basically said to these people, be the foster parents, now be the guardians. And then when the people became displeased with the temple activities, the temple said, you can't have the children.
Where are the parents at this time? Why aren't they involved?
Well, in one case, the parents now are involved. In other cases, we don't know where the parents are.
Mm-hmm. It gets stranger and stranger. In many cases, I noticed that things were done because people in the temple said they had to. That phrase came up over and over again. We signed away our children. We signed away our property. We signed papers that said we had committed felonies because we had to. What kind of force or a threat of force is being used to get people to sign these things?
Well, one of the statements that we hear over and over again from all of the clients that we have taken on and all the people who have talked to us is that whenever a person walked in the temple, they were required to sign a blank piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Put your name on a blank piece of paper. Subsequently, many different statements were put on that paper about these people. One lady who all of a sudden found a piece of paper that she had signed in blank was a explicit confession of her sexual activities, which she allegedly had written. And this was held over her head. If you leave the temple, or if you try and take your children with you, we're going to publish this. Another case came up where one woman was shot, with a blank, but shot in a meeting, and everyone else in the meeting was absolutely petrified.
What about the beatings, or the alleged beatings that take place in the temple?
Well, there have been these statements, and every one of the statements that we've gotten, we've run through either the PSE or a polygraph, questioning the people with regard to, were you beaten, was your child beaten, whatever. And we found no deviation from the statements.
What about Guyana? As I understand that that's where the Reverend Jim Jones is currently residing, and that's where they have a large mission. Have you actually met him or gone to Guyana?
I have never met the Reverend Jones, and neither have I been to Guyana. However, the information we have, it's not as large a mission as they tend to want us to believe. It's approximately 2,000 square, about 2,000 acres of land, which they put together with about 50 dwellings on it.
And this is where many of the children who you're trying to return to their parents or guardians are now.
I think this is where all the People's Temple people are who have left.
Well, the story is a very strange one. I'm sure that we're just sort of skimming the tip of the iceberg in terms of some of the things that are going on. But there are some other things that I think are even more interesting, and that is the fact that in many cases these children were assigned by the court to the temple, that they saw that as an alternative to California Youth Authority, for example. Now, certainly you would think that the courts would look into the temple before assigning the children there.
Well, in some cases that's true. The Reverend Jones or one of his associates would go into court and say, we will take this child off your hands and send them to a better environment. And I can understand the court probably feeling that Guyana, under the terms that it was expressed to the court, was a better alternative than sending a child to youth authority. In other cases, we have foster homes which have been established at the request of the People's Temple, operated and maintained by the People's Temple, where various counties sent their children. And these foster homes would receive the $200 or $300 per month per child allotment, which would go directly to the temple, and the temple would in turn reimburse the operator with meager amounts of money. In one case, 14 children only received $600 a month to operate the home on.
And the rest goes to the
church.
Okay, well, what we really need to find out is to talk to some temple members and find out what that money is used for. I think we ought to do that another day. But something I think is very curious are some of the methods that you are using in investigating the People's Temple. One of them is called the Psychological Stress Evaluator. You mentioned that earlier. We're going to take a look at that and find out exactly how you can determine the veracity of a person's statement when you're talking with them. That coming up next on AM with Joe Mazur. Been under the employ of some former People's Temple members, so we've gotten a little bit into the People's Temple this morning, but also interesting are some of the methods that you're using when you do talk with these people to determine whether or not the statements about the church are true. What are some of those things that you've been doing?
Well, one of the methods that we've been using that's been fairly effective has been the Psychological Stress Evaluator, which, to the layman's term, really is nothing more than a voice-operated polygraph. It eliminates, unlike the polygraph, it eliminates the need for strapping a person in a chair, and it can be used off of tape recordings rather than a direct conversation under controlled conditions.
Why do you need this kind of information? I mean, isn't it sort of an attorney and client relationship where you're there to represent them and you kind of have to believe what they say?
Well, it isn't an attorney-client relationship because I'm not an attorney, and I think we're dealing with people who are making accusations which are serious in nature, and we want, to some degree, to be sure that these people are telling us the truth. There are some very bizarre incidents.
Yeah, and if you didn't believe them, how are you going to go out and find out more? Let's look at it and see how it works. It looks like it doesn't it fits in about the size of a briefcase, so you can carry it around with you.
Basically, the PSE was devised about 10 years ago by two colonels from the United States Army and Military Intelligence. It operates on the basis of taking a tape recording and feeding it back through the instrument at a reduced rate of speed. Now, earlier, before the show, we taped Sonny's voice, and we asked him two questions. Namely, has he ever met President Ford, and has he ever met President Carter?
Okay, here are some of the results. I'll tip these up if you want to get a look at those.
We asked him also, at the first time, to tell us the truth or to lie to us. In the first instance, have you ever met President Ford? He said, yes, I have. And then he said, no, I have not. Again, we asked him if he'd met President Carter. He said, yes, I have. And then he said, no, I have not. What we're looking for is 11 basic varied forms of stress, which are indicated on the chart. So if we play the tape, have you ever met President Ford?
Yes.
Have you ever met President Ford?
No.
Have you ever met President Carter?
Yes.
Have you ever met President Carter?
No.
Well, we know he's telling a lie in
one of
the
other instance. So now what we're looking for is the stress indication. We see a yes here, and by looking at it, we see a diagonal block which runs down the base of the chart. We see what we call a cyclic rate change at the very end. And here we do not see that. We have a line across the top, which makes it very relative. Here it goes down a little bit, a little rate change. If I were to say now whether Sonny has ever met President Carter or President Ford or not, I would say no, he has not.
And the reason for that is?
The stress pattern, which has been indicated over here, which is different than this, and forms a, as we call it, a diagonal blockage.
More anxiety in that.
More anxiety.
All right.
You must remember that questions
like
this. Let's
see if I can figure out the other one.
All right.
I guess he probably hasn't met President Carter either.
No, he hasn't.
All right.
You must remember that questions like this ask without jeopardy.
Yeah.
Are like playing a game.
Let me put this down so we can do something on the air, because I had an interesting conversation with you yesterday in which you said that some people are very hard to determine, that my anxiety level seems to be so high at all times that you didn't know if it, you could get an accurate reading or not. Why is that the case?
Well, you yesterday when we taped you on the show, you had a bit of compression in your voice, and I asked you also whether you had been under stress yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me something about you had 10 people at home when you got home. And that could be a very good reason. But to give it a demonstration, let us ask you the same question.
All right.
You have ever met President Ford, the first time I ask you, you'll say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time I ask you, you'll say no.
All right.
Now, if you want to hold the microphone.
Sure.
Have you ever met President Ford?
No.
President Ford?
Yes.
President Ford?
Yes.
Right? Okay, what we do is we reduce the speed of the tape. And then you're going to hear your voice like you've never heard it before. We'll go to the next one.
That's one way to modulate your voice, drop the pitch a little bit. And now we're beginning to see the paper print out.
Now you're seeing the pattern that's coming out. The first point, I asked you, have you ever met him? And you said yes. And the second time, you said no. All right. Based on the pattern that we have here, against the pattern that's showing over here, I would say to you that you have less stress here
mm-hmm.
than you have here. More compression, a little spike that goes up the top.
Mm-hmm.
You have never met President Ford.
You're right. Shall we try it again? Do we have time to do one more demonstration? No, we don't. Well, I did meet President Carter, folks. You just have to take my word for it. Thank you very much. Very interesting. I hope that if we can get further into the People's Temple another day, perhaps with some present and former members of the People's Temple, I'd like to have you back for that. And next time.
Members to the church itself may be fraudulent.
A check of the records in Mendocino County, where the church holds property, shows that more than 20 parcels have been transferred, most of them given to the temple by its members. Such transfers were an important temple program a few years ago. But in one case now under investigation, two former members, Marvin and Mary Sweeney, say that despite what appears to be a properly filled out deed turning their property over to the temple, they never signed such a document. The Sweeneys, temple members from 1965 to 1975, now live in South Carolina. But they are clients of San Francisco private investigator Joseph Mazur, who is working with several former temple members. Today by phone, they repeated what they have said in an affidavit on its way to the California Secretary of State. They did not sign the deed and did not intend to sell the property. Did you actually sign that grant deed conveying the property? You did not. Did you sign a blank grant deed at any point? You never signed anything along those lines whatsoever. Also at issue, the notarization of some of the other deeds. The Secretary of State's investigators are checking the authenticity of the work of six notaries. When a document is notarized, the notary says the person's name appeared before him. Today, former members said that in their case, despite the notary's seal, it wasn't so. Elmer and Dina Myrtle and Mrs. Myrtle's mother, Mary Gustafson, transferred property to the church in 1973 when the Myrtles thought they were going to Africa as missionaries for the temple. They did not go, but never got their property back. It was worth $90,000 at the time. On the deed, the seal of a church member and former San Francisco Deputy District Attorney, Timothy Stone. His signature means the Myrtles appeared before him. Here's what they say. Did you ever appear before an attorney named Timothy Stone and sign
no.
those?
No.
You never did?
No.
How about you?
No, there was no notary present when we signed the papers.
And what was on the papers?
It was a blank grant deed.
False notarization is a misdemeanor, and filing a false document is a felony. Further, it can cancel the validity of the document. The Secretary of State's investigators are checking six such documents, and the probe is expected to widen. And according to this woman, Neela Sly, a member of the church from 1967 to 1976, signing names to documents was a normal practice. She said she signed between 1 and 200 documents, things like guardians allowing children to live in foster homes, releases from liability, even powers of attorney at the direction of her superiors in the church.
I signed powers of attorney, but not property transfers.
Do you remember how many times you signed powers of attorney?
I have no idea. I signed a lot of blank papers, too, but I have no idea how many.
She said the members whose names she signed wanted the documents put into effect, and signing, she thought, was a convenience. Calls to People's Temple for reaction were referred to attorneys who were unavailable today. In the past, the church has declined to comment beyond saying that the charges by former members who had become disaffected have been aimed at hurting the organization. The temple has said the charges are untrue. In San Francisco, this is Bill Schechner, Channel 5 Eyewitness News.
Investigators from the San Francisco District Attorney's Office said today that more than 400 members of Pastor Jim Jones' church have now left for the mission in Guyana. Jim Jones himself has been in seclusion there since the news reports broke. Well, from news to sports, it didn't rain.
Around People's Temple involves the church's 3,500-acre operation in Guyana on the north coast of South Africa. The church says it's an agricultural experiment station
But former members paint a grimmer picture of a jungle outpost. So far, no news media have been allowed to go in there, but today, Eyewitness News was able to get some pictures of the place, and Bill Schechner now has this report.
The pictures we're going to show you are a dozen or so of several hundred that were taken by Eugene Chaykin, who is a church member for 6 years and also has done some legal work for the church. We operated under a couple of ground rules. For one thing, we agreed not to talk about the controversy swirling around People's Temple at the moment. For another, all I know about these pictures is that I was told that these are pictures of People's Temple's agricultural mission in Guyana. I talked to Gene Chaykin about them, and here's what he said and some of the pictures that he took.
The world is a hungry place today. There are constantly projections that there's going to be mass starvation around the world, and we thought that one of the real contributions we could make would be to try to improve production in the tropics, because that's the area of the world where food production is worst.
You have options on a rather large tract. If your techniques work out and you were to develop that tract, you would then be in the food business. Is that the long-term goal?
No, we're not really interested. It's not a money-making project. We're not interested in going down there for the purpose of competing with Safeway stores or what have you. Our purpose is to develop effective food production. We have organization for all of our work activities, just like any organization would. We have the agriculture divided up. For example, there are a group of people who are involved in our citrus industry development, and some of them are organized in a group that grow citrus trees from scratch, from seed, and bud them and go through the whole process. And there are others that are involved in driving tractors and planting and harvesting, and others that are involved in the construction industry, others that are involved in food processing.
Are people paid for their labor?
No, they're not.
Do they pay to be there?
No, they don't.
Is there any term for which an individual signs up when he or she goes there?
No.
Are the people who go there voluntarily?
Yes, they are.
Are the people who are there now free to leave if they choose to?
Absolutely.
Anyone there now, if they wanted to, could leave and come back?
Sure.
If an individual who was there decided to go,
mm-hmm.
and they had no funds, would the temple make funds available to them to return them to the United States?
Sure.
So far, the press has not been allowed in, but temple officials said today it is their plan to let the press in sometime in the next weeks. In San Francisco, Bill Schechner, Channel 5 Eyewitness News.
The man who hired you, August
23. This is actually touch both the temple, the church itself, and the San Francisco District Attorney's Office. Jim Clancy has a report.
The State Attorney General's office has refused to look into a tape recording that allegedly shows a former assistant district attorney, Timothy Stone of Mendocino County, arranging a payment to a former member of the People's Temple who charged that his name was forged on a deed signing over his home to the church. Stone, who later worked for the San Francisco district attorney, was a high-ranking member of the church and notarized the signatures. Special Investigator Robert Graham of the San Francisco DA's office says the matter is out of his jurisdiction since it occurred in Mendocino County, and that's why he turned it over to the Attorney General.
Well, as you know, we received a tape yesterday from a private investigator, and today we made an effort to turn it over to the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General's office refused to receive the tape after listening to it and has suggested that we turn it over to the Sheriff's office in Mendocino County.
What are they saying, then, that they want someone else to do the actual investigation first before they enter into the case?
I believe that's their position. They feel that, having heard the tape, that there is no proof of any criminal act on the tape itself, and that the matter ought to be investigated further, and that's the reason why they suggested we contact the sheriff.
After Tim Stone quit this office last spring, this year, he went to Guyana to work full-time for the Reverend Jones at his agricultural mission there. There have been reports, rumors, that he is returning to the United States. Have you heard anything on that?
Tim is back in the United States. In fact, he was seen in San Francisco this afternoon.
We have that on a reliable source?
One of the investigators of the district attorney's office saw him in San Francisco this afternoon.
Stone was spotted at the post office at 7th and Mission Streets in San Francisco, and now the DA's office is seeking to interview him about the allegations. The private detective who made the tape available talked with Action News Tonight about its contents.
The Sweeneys were going to leave the temple, and they had heard rumors that people's property were being taken by the temple, and the Sweeneys went down to check to make sure that their property was all right, and it hadn't been seized or taken. And they did. They found, in fact, that the temple had recorded a deed in the temple's name rather than in the Sweeney's. In other words, they'd taken over the property. And the Sweeney's then, Mr. Sweeney called Jim Jones and told him that he was going to go to the Attorney General's office and make a complaint unless he got his property back. And Jim Jones told him to go ahead. They had people up there, and in case it did get through, Tim Stone would short-circuit the matter when it got back down to Mendocino. Then there was some negotiation, as Mr. Sweeney states, back and forth between Jones and himself, and subsequently a deal was struck that Jones would give Sweeney $10,000, providing Sweeney would get out of town, and he'd also return Sweeney's son, his older son, who was in Guyana, providing he'd get out of town, make no more statements, and never come back.
Mazur has notarized statements for Marvin and Jackie Sweeney saying they never signed the deed to their home. He says they were broke and desperately wanted to leave the church, and that's why they accepted the deal with Jones. Jim Clancy, Channel 2 Action News, San Francisco.
Still to come on Action News, an alert in the...
Marvin.